الرحمن الرحيم والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, brothers and elders, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and durood salutation be upon his most beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hopefully many of us were engrossed last night in listening to the State of the Nation address. However, to some of us, the State of the Nation address made no difference. Same promises expounded by a different person. We should, however, view the State of the Nation address in the light that we are not only South African, but we are part of the fabric of society. What transpires, what is said in the State of Nation address affects us, and we can play our part in fulfilling the promises that were meted out in the State of the Nation address. The second thing is, the State of the Nation address made us think that there was, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also a State of the Nation address by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were many occasions where he addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where he gave them advice. But there is one particular, in inverted commas, State of the Nation address by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which comes to the fore. The occasion where he gave his sermon was a special occasion. It was the final or farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only the occasion was grandiose, the location was also grandiose. It was on the plains of Arafat. But the message and last sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not specific for the Hajj. It was for Sahaba radiallahu anhum and generations to come thereafter. It was for us. So the State of the Nation address, in inverted commas, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins by saying that this message I have for you is not only for you, but this message should be taken by you and should be conveyed to others. The point in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making that he is encouraging Sahaba radiallahu anhum that go forth in your communities hereafter and explain to them about the beauty of deen. Encourage them to become positive role players in their communities. Don't only be negative. And so many of us fall into this plight when we hear a State of the Nation address, or we hear about the State of the Nation address. It is just false promises. It will never come to the fore. We are only negative when we hear such an address. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Sahaba radiallahu anhum that listen and listen well, and be encouraged, and take this deen, take the positivity out of the sermon, and go to the people and convey the message of deen. Because this deen, being a Muslim, and the life that you will spend as a Muslim, these are positive things. There's no negativity about this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter informs Sahaba radiallahu anhum that this life is a trust. It is an amana. This body that you have, it is an amana. You need to look after this body. Don't take this body for granted. Sometimes we are so involved in our day-to-day activity that we forget to look after our own selves. And sometimes it is too late, then only we realize, had I sorted this problem out, the symptoms were there, had I sorted it out long time ago, I would have had a healthy mind and body. So don't take this life for granted. Don't take this body for granted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. It is an amana. Respect it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that one day we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As members of society, as a father, as a student, as a teacher, as a president, as a Muslim, one day I have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am accountable for what I do. I will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give an account for my deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question me about the life, the time, the position that He has given us, the position in society, the position in our home that He has given us. We are accountable to somebody. As leaders, they are accountable to their subordinates. As fathers, we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are accountable to our family members. So one day, we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are accountable for our deeds. And as South Africans, we are also accountable. There's the rule of law. We have to obey this rule of law. We should not be corrupt, and we should not make people corrupt. If the rule of law says 120 is the speed limit, stick to the speed limit. Don't drive 160 and think that I'll give him a bribe and everything will be sorted out. Don't be corrupt, and don't create an environment of people becoming corrupt. There are rules and regulations. So when we give a bribe to get a deal or to get a tender, then remember there is no barakah in that deal. That deal, that money won't take us far. So we are accountable. There's the rule of law. We are accountable to the rule of law that we are bound to within the country that we live in. And also, when somebody asks us for a bribe, it is an opportunity for dawah. It is an opportunity for us to tell them that Allah is watching us. We are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are also accountable to a Lord. You are also accountable to somebody in your office. So you are asking me for a bribe, I will not give you a bribe. And make him aware that Allah is watching. And as soon as you tell him that, or tell her that, then they realize that no, this person, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else. And my relationship to my Lord also should be at that level. I am accountable. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam further explains the Islamic economic policy. He says that we should not be involved in riba, in interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made interest haram. We should not involve ourselves in any interest-related transaction. So, if we are unfortunately involved in an interest-related debt, our first worry and concern is that how am I going to relieve myself from this interest-related debt? I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps me in relieving myself from this interest-related debt. And all out effort should be made in getting out of that interest-related debt. As a businessman, as a professional, my sole focus should be that interest is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram. And there is no barakah in this transaction. And there is no help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I unfortunately am involved in this interest-related debt. Allah, if you make this intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you out of that debt. And if we have the capacity, the resource, to help somebody, to empower somebody, to relieve themselves from this interest-related debt, we should go forward and take this opportunity of relieving somebody from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from being involved in an interest-related debt. So we will be empowering somebody to run an interest-free business, or be free from interest and free from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sallam also further explains to Sahaba radiallahu anhum and to us that we should be aware of our number one enemy, that is Shaitan. Shaitan is our enemy. At all times we should be on our guard and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection against Shaitan. Shaitan gets happy, or is rather happy, with one that is involved in his own ibadah. A person is involved in his own ibadah, Shaitan leaves him alone, that let him carry on with his own ibadah. But when a person is encouraging others to do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Shaitan gets worried. So why does he get worried? Because this person is not only practicing deen, but he's encouraging others to practice deen. This worries Shaitan. So this brings us to the point that when we encourage others to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encourage others and be positive role players in within our society, then this worries Shaitan. This perplexes Shaitan. So we should always be on the guard against Shaitan. One of the other things that Shaitan gets pleased about is that when husband and wife are fighting, when husband and wife are having an argument, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his sermon, in his farewell sermon, brings us to the attention that we should fulfill the rights of our wives and women, women's rights. We should treat them kindly. We should treat them with respect. In the ayat that are read in the khutbah of nikah, we will hear the word taqwa very often. We will hear the word taqwa, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very often. We should be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us in our relationship with our wives, in our relationship with women. So we should treat women with kindness and humility and respect. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The five pillars of Islam. We should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perform our five daily salah, fast in the month of Ramadan. If zakat is necessary, obligatory upon us, we should fulfill the obligation of zakat and perform hajj when hajj becomes compulsory. Thereafter, and this was part of the State of the Nation address yesterday, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informs us that no Arab is superior to a non-Arab. No non-Arab is superior to an Arab. No white man is superior to a black man. And no black man is superior to a white man. A Muslim is a brother to his fellow Muslim. Racism is a big issue in our country. As Muslims, the only thing that brings us closer in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa. Inna akramakum inna Allahi atqakum. The most honored from amongst us is the one that is most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be he black or white, be he Arab or non-Arab. So depending on our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be honored and respected. No matter what our complexion is, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a man has taqwa and is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To create this love and brotherhood, we have to have a desire for hidayah. We have to have a desire for ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, for guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us that we are Muslimin. To have the desire that people out there can have hidayah, can be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once we have the desire for the next human being's hidayah and guidance, we will have love for that person. We have a desire for a fellow human being to get hidayah, to be rightly guided. It will bring us to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us love for fellow human beings. That, oh Allah, you guide this person. He is on the wrong path, you guide him. So when we meet him, we will meet him with love. We will meet him, and when he sees our love, when he sees us greeting him, when he sees us hugging him, when he sees us talking to him with respect and honor and dignity, this man will come closer to us. He will realize that this is not only a human being, he is a Muslim. And the driving force to this love is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide this person towards deen and towards iman, and how he can be saved from the fire of Jahannam, and how he can be entered into Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thereafter informs us that there is no Nabi to come afterwards. I am the last of all Nabis. There is no Nabi to come afterwards. We should be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, the ability to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the ability to follow in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should be grateful for this. We should also be grateful for the fact that alhamdulillah, we are able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam peacefully in this country. For all our solutions, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that follow Quran and sunnah. If we have any difficulty in our life, we should follow Quran and sunnah. What was the sunnah? What was the state of the nation address of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? When he became Khalifa, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu informed Sahaba radiallahu anhum that you have appointed me as the first Khalifa, and I am neither better than you. He showed humility. He showed that he is the servant of the people. As leaders, we should show that we are servants of the people. We are here to serve the people. He showed humility that I, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I am not the best from amongst you. Nonetheless, you have appointed me as your Khalifa. So I need you to help me in fulfilling the task of Khilafah. As role players within the fabric of society, as a South African, we should help in making a better life for all. We should help in empowering people. We should help in making this country a beautiful country. In appointing people to public office, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never appointed his fellow family members. There was no nepotism in the appointment of governors or public office in the life of in the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And in his era, when he would appoint anyone as a governor or a person of public office, he would remind them of their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The appointment of a person to public office and taqwa went hand in hand. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appointed the tax man, when he appointed somebody to collect zakat, when he appointed his SARS officers, then he would remind them about their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would remind them to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would remind them to be honorable, not to dishonor the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If we take a leaf out of the book of Umar radiallahu anhu in his era of Khilafah, when he was the Khalifa, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates leaders like these for us. He used to walk the streets of Medina Munawwara, a very famous story. And in the outskirts of Medina Munawwara, he saw a fire that was lit. He went with his servant and walked towards the fire. And he saw a lady with her children. And when he asked about their plight, this lady did not know that who this person was. And this lady informed him that we are from out of town, we do not have food and provision. And this lady is telling Umar radiallahu anhu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of my plight. And it is the responsibility of Umar radiallahu anhu to look after us. And I will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Umar radiallahu anhu that he's not looking after us. Tears in his eyes, Umar radiallahu anhu brings some food for this lady and her children from Baytul Mal. And he carries the burden himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, or may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create for us leaders of this caliber. Nonetheless, as individuals, we are all being given position, a position of authority. Like we said, as a father, I am given a position of authority. A senior sibling, I am the eldest brother or eldest sister, I am also given a position of authority. I am the employer, I am given a position of authority. If we understand the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then we will look after this flock that we have under us. كُلُّكُمْ رَعِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ أَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. We are all shepherds to our flock. And we need to look after this flock. The shepherd ensures that the sheep in his flock do not eat the wrong plants or produce that is out there. And his responsibility is to ensure that the wolf does not devour the flock. As individuals and as people of society, as amir of an organization, as the CEO of an organization, president of an organization, as a parent, as a teacher, we have been given an amana, a responsibility by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to understand our position. We need to understand our position as the fabric of society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to look after the positions that He has given us and grant us the ability to empower people and to help people to grow a better society for one and all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.